Have you ever felt like you're sending your cold pitches into the void? Considering how many new creators we've seen step onto the scene recently, it's no wonder why brands feel so overwhelmed with the probably boring copy and paste pitches that they're getting all day, every day. To combat that, in 2022, I flipped the script on traditional cold pitching. Picture this. Instead of sitting at your computer, writing these cold email pitches that you're copying and pasting, maybe changing a few sentences, you're spending all of that time actually networking with the brands and the people at the brands that you want to be working with. These genuine connections can lead to so much more longevity and consistency in your partnerships. I'm Kristen Busquet, and I've been a full-time creator for over 3 years, and I've brought in over $400,000 from sponsored posts and content creation collaborations with brands so far. Social Scoop is the podcast where we teach you, the entrepreneurial creator, to turn your online influence and creativity into a profitable, self-sustaining business. We're giving you the scoop on how using the anti-pitch method to create genuine connections with the brands that you want to work with can completely change the trajectory of the way that your partnerships are working out, just like it did with today's guest, Hannah Lee Lifestyle. This, my biz BFF, is Social Scoop. Hello, my friends, and welcome to episode 131 of Social Scoop Podcast. My name is Kristen, and as always, I'm so excited that you're here. A little pup date for you. I know the last couple weeks that I've come on to chat, we have not actually had a new foster in our house. Today, it's, I guess, kind of like a little halfway house situation. We have Chessie here with us today. She's actually sitting right next to me. She's a two-year-old Chihuahua Dachshund mix, a Chiweenie, if you will. And she actually, 8 weeks ago, just had three puppies. The puppies are all up for adoption. They're 8 weeks old. They're literally so small and so cute. I cannot. But Chessie is also going to be looking for a home. So she had her puppies. She was found as a stray when she was literally in labor. So the rescue took her in, and we've had her, had all her puppies come out super healthy. Everyone's doing great. Chessie actually has a back injury, which makes it really difficult for her to walk. So she kind of like hops and doesn't really walk normally. She's definitely like dragging her legs a lot. So she's on medication now, and she has heartworm as well. So the issue was that because she needed to be taking care of her puppies and feeding her puppies, she couldn't be on any of this medication that she needed to be on for the last 8 weeks. So basically, we just separated on Friday, Chessie with from her puppies, and essentially they're in one house, and then Chessie's with us until she finds a long-term foster. So we just basically have her, because she has her back injury, she can't stay here long-term because River and her will, like, River literally just wants to play, like, attack, like, have fun with every dog. So it will not work out with her back injury here. So she's actually been staying in my office in her own little, like, little hotel room here for the last few days. And she's actually going to a new foster today when you're listening to this on Tuesday the 12th. So super excited for her. There's photos of her on my stories if you want to see her, potentially adopt her or one of her puppies. They're all so cute, so sweet. We're so happy for her. In other news, social media news, Instagram has announced new DM feature. So you can now edit your DM for up to 15 minutes after sending, and you will be able to pin up to 3 chats to the top of your DM inbox, making important conversations obviously more accessible. You can also turn off the read receipts for all DMs or just specific threads. I personally am definitely turning off my read receipts because my issue is that I very often will like want to go read something, but I just like don't have the mental capacity or the time to respond to it right at that second. So I really love the option to actually be able to like read it real quick and then like mark it as unread, but not have people think that I'm ignoring them. So I will definitely be turning that off. Also the pinning chat to the DM, like, how do I choose? Who do I choose? This is like MySpace top 8. I have to choose 3 though. I don't know who is going there. I have a lot of consistent conversations with a lot of people, so I just think this is a really difficult decision to make. Maybe they could just be like another tab where it's like important and you could just put a bunch of stuff there. I think that would personally be a lot more helpful. And also editing your DMs for up to 15 minutes after sending, does that count if they see it? You know, right? Like if they see it before the 15 minutes, that's, it doesn't matter if you edit it after that or not. Like, you, they still already saw it. I don't know. This, I feel like I usually just unsend it and like resend it corrected. But that's just me. Who knows? I think people are very excited about these new DM features though. TikTok, typically in the news segment of this podcast, is like few and far between how many times they have options or like new things that they're sharing. So today is actually fairly TikTok heavy. They just released this like big new update on their blog and their little newsroom. And this is everything that's in there. First things first, TikTok will let creators offer subscription packages, not just live creators. So eligible creators can implement subscriptions soon. Right now, it's just invite only, but this will offer creators the option to offer exclusive content and benefits to your most engaged community members, not just when you're going live. So you'll actually be able to have just like a general subscription similar to Instagram subscriptions, which I personally am not using and probably will not be using on either platform, simply because I just don't think it's a safe option for you to put all of your eggs in that basket. Because what if TikTok or Instagram is down and your people can't access the content? There's just too many things I think that could go wrong. And I do think it's very smart for you to try and build your audience off of these platforms, because we just have no idea what's going to happen with them literally tomorrow or the day after or in a month or in a year. So personally, I would put my time and energy into building off of the platforms, but you do you, okay? TikTok is also bringing its creativity program out of beta, and they're calling it the Creator Rewards Program. So they say that they'll continue to offer high quality rewards to high quality content. It has to still be over a minute long. And the key four focus areas for them are originality, play duration, search value, and audience engagement. So it's not just like how your posts are performing, which I think is interesting. It actually has to do with play duration. So like how long people are actually watching that video for, and then search value, like how valuable is it in the search? Are people searching for this? Very interesting, TikTok. TikTok also urges creators in the US to contact Congress to oppose the TikTok ban. So people got a pop-up alert in stream sharing how users can contact their House representative to get people to support them to stopping a potential ban. I feel like this has been going on for so long, but the fact that TikTok now is like putting this in a pop-up alert in the app makes me start paying attention a little bit more. I literally have had this conversation with a lot of people in the last couple of weeks, but for the maybe the last month or so, maybe honestly more than that, I have just been so in the I don't give a fuck about TikTok mode that I like, if it got banned, it would be sad, but like not really for me. Like more for everyone else, that like all of these creators that I work with that have built platforms there, people whose entire job is TikTok, like devastating. For me personally, I think I could do without it. Sometimes I just debate if I even want to use the app and have the app. But I just feel like it's been very discouraging to be there recently. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being a Debbie Downer. Ignore me. But that's just the way that I'm feeling. I actually, if you saw in my stories last week, I, for the last few weeks, I've been meeting with a like holistic doctor who's basically helping me transition off of birth control. And the first thing that we're doing is trying to like heal my gut. So I had to do a food sensitivity test. And they asked me in this test, basically, I did all the stuff and then I got my results back. And they said that I need to be dairy free. Womp womp, sad. So I went to the store and just bought like every possible dairy-free thing I could find. Yes, hand over recommendations if you are dairy-free and have good recommendations. But basically, I thought, you know, what if I made a TikTok where I just shared like all of my dairy-free finds? I think that's something that would do really well on TikTok. So I'm going to try it out to see if it will make me feel more excited, because posting about what I typically post about on TikTok just doesn't feel exciting to me. So I'm going to play around with it. I'm really trying to change my attitude, I swear. But just to be real with you, this is how I'm feeling right now. One last little piece of news that I really, really, really like, and I think brands will really like. Instagram is adding the option to replace licensed music to boost reels and ads. So when you go to your reel and you go to boost it, which brands can do if you give them access, and it has licensed music, a screen is going to pop up that's going to say, oh, sorry, this has licensed music, you can't boost it. However, would you like to replace it with a song that is, you know, like royalty free and can can actually be boosted. And you can literally change the song without changing it on the post that's on your feed, which I think is so great because there are so many opportunities where I really want to put music on something that I know a brand is going to boost, but I really don't like the music options that I have. So I don't want to post it like that in feed. So I like the option of being able to use like a trending sound that maybe is licensed in my feed, but then I can actually change that for the brand, or the brand can change it to something that is not licensed so they can actually boost it, you know, legally. So I actually think this is genius. This is really cool. And this is like a great thing for you to know if you're someone who's working with brands and they are whitelisting your content or using allow listing, creator licensing, same difference. This is really good for you to know because you can offer this as an option if you don't want to use the unlicensed music in your actual post. So yay for that. We love that. I am so excited. You guys know that we stopped having guests on the podcast, honestly, a while ago, but this episode just felt right to have a guest on. And my good friend Hannah is here today. She's a gem. You will absolutely love her. Go give her a follow. While you're listening to this, I left her information down in the show notes. This episode is so good. Hannah is amazing. So we're going to dive right into it. Enjoy. Hey, it's me interrupting this episode to let you know about the Anti-Pitch Method Masterclass that's coming up on March 20th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I know that you're sick of sending cold pitches that are going out into the void and are not making you money. So in this masterclass, you're going to learn how to build genuine connections with the brands that you really want to work with so that you can have more long-term and consistent partnerships. This 90-minute masterclass is going to teach you everything that you need to know and will be very interactive so that you can learn how to master the anti-pitch method. Head to the show notes below to get your ticket before it's all sold out, and I'll see you there. Okay, guys, I will just start this episode off by saying when I sent Hannah an invite for this recording, I literally called it Hannah Kristen shit talking.
As we do.
So as you can take what you will from that and understand what will be coming in this episode.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Yeah. Like, get your tea ready, sit down, have a seat, and get ready. I'm so excited for Hannah to be here. Hannah's been on the podcast before. It feels like 1,000 years ago. But
a long time ago.
Yeah, Hannah and I have been friends for a long time. Again, time feels like it's absolutely flying. And I feel like Hannah is one of my favorite people to, like, I don't know, we just, like, I think we just talk shit. I think that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, honestly.
I love it. So I figured she would be the best person to have on this podcast. Special guest episode today, as this is not something we usually do. So Hannah, okay, give us the quick rundown of who you are for those who don't know you, which I don't know, are they must be living under a rock or something. At this
point, where have you been?
Honestly.
I'm Hannah. I am an influencer on Instagram and TikTok primarily. I do a lot of plus size fashion, positivity, just like self-love. If you just want to feel like you're in a giant hug, like, come to my page and we will like boost you up.
Love that.
Yeah, I've been doing this for a little over 5 years. I'm currently full-time, making good money. Hey. So just enjoying, you know?
No, I love that. I love that. So I want to bring it back to like when you were starting to monetize and everything. Obviously, like, you kind of came up in the same time as me where like everything we were learning was like, just send pitches to brands. So yeah. What did it look like when you actually started getting partnerships from brands? Like, were you pitching? Was it a lot of inbounds? What did that even look like in the beginning?
Yeah. In the beginning, I was making like $0 from pitching because yeah. I had such a bad way of pitching, you know, like, and it felt weird. It felt awkward, like reaching out to brands and being like, hi, I'm Hannah. Will you pay me? And it's like, they don't know anything about you. Why would they just like offer you the dollar bills, you know? So I think all of the money I made pretty much was inbound because they were like, they were ready. They had done their research. Yeah. They knew who I was. And I feel like that's so important if you're going to pitch.
When you did first get started, like actually monetizing, where were you at for follower count?
I think I was only at like maybe 5,000 followers, but I wasn't getting paid a lot. But I think my first payment was for $10. And I was so proud.
$10?
It was through like your, do you remember like, I think it was called like Heartbeat.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they offered you like $10. And I was like, sold, like someone paying me even a dollar. Like how exciting. But I only had like a couple thousand followers, which is why I'm sure they only offered $10.
Okay. That's fair. Things have changed a little bit since then, but yeah, like I get the excitement of, oh my gosh, $10. Cause I feel like, I mean, first of all, at first, like we were all doing stuff just for free, like, you know, not even $10. And that was super cool. Yeah. So, you know, like it's evolved a lot. I think since 2020, when, you know, the world shut down and so many people became creators, became influencers, the things have just changed so much more now.
Yeah. Yeah. And now I see influencers who have like 2,000 or 3,000 followers who are like demanding hundreds of dollars. And I'm like, good for you. You know, like get your bag.
Right.
I was in a different boat where I was like, wow, it's 2019 and I am working a corporate job. And to even get free product, I was like, oh. So then to get free product and $10, I was like, wow, she's made it.
You can buy like a whole coffee with that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously, like, interesting start. We were making $10. Things were going really well. As you have progressed, obviously, you did not quit your corporate job making $10 per post, no. I would assume. What did the, like, evolution look like? So in terms of, like, how much you were making, where you were at with follower count, like, how you were actually getting these brand deals, like, bring us to today and how that looked.
Yeah. So I actually started working as a social media manager at this fashion company. And that is when I learned like how much influencers are making and, you know, how they're negotiating. And it just kind of gave me that like backdoor, like look into everything, which was really, really cool. Cause I honestly knew nothing before that. And so from that, I was like, oh, so asking for like $500 having 10,000 followers, like that's actually okay. Because I feel like when you're poor, you cannot conceptualize the amount of money that some people are being are making.
Yeah.
And so I was like, is that even okay to ask for? And I started pitching myself a lot more. I wouldn't say I had a ton of success, but you know what I did start doing that was successful is just talking to other influencers and finding out how much they were making and finding out who was paying. And that's when I really started to get some like higher paid deals because I was putting in the research. And then I decided to kind of branch out from that job because it was not a good job. and I started taking on like social media clients who I would like manage their page. I would do product photography for them. Like I would do all that while also doing my little hustle on the side. And that's when the money kind of started to flow in a little bit more. I became like an actual like my own boss. And I still think I had only around 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
And like no followers on TikTok at the time. Like that was brand new. This was all happening in 2020. So I was just posting like silly little videos on TikTok and had no followers. But yeah, suddenly I was like, wait, maybe I can actually make real money from this. Like who knew?
Right. Yeah. So I love that you said that you started connecting with other creators because I think that is something that a lot of people are afraid to do because they're like, I don't know, do we talk about money? Like, isn't that weird? And I think that's, for me, one of the reasons why I like to share that kind of stuff is because I think people are scared to ask. And so it's really good to have like it right in front of them so they don't even have to ask. But I also know that you have started to create connections with actual brands as well. Like we were talking in the DMs a little bit and you had said like, you're at the top of the list now for a lot of these campaigns, literally because you've made friends with the people at the brand. So I want to hear a little bit about like what that looked like. How did you kind of like get the confidence to decide to start making friends with brands? Because like people are scared to do it. People are like, that's kind of weird, isn't it? Like, it's not weird, but I'm curious to hear what your experience was like.
Yeah. So, I mean, I had literally been in their role. I was a social media manager at a brand, hiring influencers, getting these like super cold, like templated pitches. And I was like, this is giving me nothing, you know, like, I don't know who you are. I'm going to look at your page and be like, what are you going to bring to the table? You know? And like, do you want to be friends? Like, it doesn't seem like it. So I kind of took that and I was like, you know what? I was using these template emails. They weren't working. Mm-hmm. Like nobody, they're going to get so many of these and they're going to look at these templates and be like, oh, another one. Yeah. Like, I do not care. They all look the same. And it's like, first off, I wasn't about to take my time to actually read through it and like try to find the important stuff in your like template email. So I was like, they're not going to do that either. And I also come from a sales background and I realized in sales that you also had to kind of be their friend if you wanted to like get anywhere, because when you're looking at your inbox, are you going to like go read through emails that you like, you don't know who the person is, they're all templates? Or are you going to say, that's my homie in my inbox, I'm going to go read their email,
right,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so I just kind of started replying to emails in like a much more organic way and just being like, oh my gosh, so excited to meet you. How are you? Where do you live? Like, tell me everything about you. Let's like actually form a relationship. And when I started doing that, brands were like, wait, I love you.
I love you.
We could be best friends. And then it just like, it snowballed, right? Because now when brands hit me up, they're like, Hannah, I miss you. I miss talking to you. I want to like hang out. And like through doing that, I'm like, yeah, I'll hang out, but you also have to pay me.
I'll hang out with you for $5,000. Thank you.
Exactly.
Oh my God. I love that. No, it's so interesting that you have the social media, like being on the other side perspective. Because I also, before I was like in my position that I'm in now, I did campaign management for a brand and it was literally horrible working with influencers. Like I was like, these people, this is no wonder why I get a lot of brand deals, because I respond to emails and I send invoices when they're supposed to come. And I like actually respond to emails. Like people do not do that stuff. And again, when you're getting pitches, they all are like, hi, I'm this person. This is about me. This is what I want. And it's like, I don't care what you want because I don't work for you. And I have things that I need to do for the people that I do work for. Like, what are you here for?
No, seriously, Kristen, I one time had an influencer. I was like, please send me your invoice. And she was like, how do I do that? And I was like, Miss Ma'am, like, let me introduce you to a great thing called Google where you can figure out on your own how to do this. Because I was like, I'm not going to pay you then. Like, figure it out. Like, it's absurd. Some of these influencers, I'm like, no, you're a business. You know that, right? Like, please treat yourself like a business. It's crazy.
Well, that's the problem. It's like they don't know that they're a business. I think so many creators are just like, oh, you know, like I'm just taking pictures. Like it's fun. You know, I have followers. But like if you want to actually start like working with brands in like a serious capacity, I think you have to take it more seriously. Like I don't, for as a brand, want to like spend my time again teaching you how to send an invoice or like tracking you down for stuff. Like you are the business owner. Like you're supposed to be responsible for that yourself, not me.
Yeah. And like if you think about it, if you're looking at two influencers and one is like, I don't know how to send an invoice, I don't know how to do this, can you help me with this, being a problem. And the other person is like, hey, I made an extra video for you. Hope you have an amazing week. Here's everything you need in one folder. Like, who are you going to work with again?
Yeah. You know? And it's crazy too, because even if that influencer who, the one who's the problem, has the best content, like way better content than the other one, I'm still hiring the other one because you have made Absolutely. My life better. Like, you're ending your email asking like, how's your dog doing? Like, I am definitely hiring you again over this person who doesn't know how to send an invoice.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. Like, you don't need the best engagement or the best following. Like, Yep. You should be putting out like solid work, but like be easy to work with, Mm-hmm. Give them more than they asked for, and just be a nice person. And like, Literally. They're going to want to work with you again. Like, it's that simple. It's like common sense, but so many people don't think of it that way.
I think it's interesting because we have just been like, think about like when, like coming up as an influencer, especially again in 2020 when like everyone became a coach, everyone became an influencer, like things really blew up in 2020. Think about like back then when everyone was just teaching people like, this is how you do it. Send a pitch, copy and paste. Here's your template. Buy my template. Like, and I mean, I'm even guilty of that. Like back in 2020, all I was doing was pitching and like, you know, sending cold pitches, making an ebook that had pitches in it, because that was all we were ever taught. Like it was never,
yeah.
I never thought to like make friends with brands. And I think people are still in that mindset. Some of Mm-hmm. Us have changed that mindset. And I think that's why like we do find that we have better relationships with these brands and stuff, is because like we're not really in it for like the high quantity of brands that we're working with. Like we would rather work with a smaller amount of brands, have to like do less hustling throughout every single month to find new jobs, and just be able to like have really good relationships with the brands that already want to pay us thousands of dollars. I don't want to go out and find more people to pay me thousands of dollars. If I have them, I want to just keep them.
Exactly. It is so hard to find solid influencers.
Yeah.
And so if you're like coming to a brand and you're like, I can offer you like 6 months of work, like let's make this like a long-term thing. That's when you're going to start seeing the money. Yeah. Because then it's not like, oh, I made $2,000 this month, but that was it. Then Right. It's like, all right, I'm making $2,000 for 6 months. And that's solid money that you can count on and feel like you have like a paycheck.
Right. Which we don't in general. So yeah. We love the consistency. That's for sure. But you actually bring up a good question that I had for you. So like when we think about longevity of working with the same brand, like over and over again, now that you've been able to make friends with the people that are at these brands, like you have these really good relationships and are doing things that are more like consistent or long-term, do you find that you have more like one-off partnerships that you just get hit up for more often? Or do you feel like you have like longer contracts where it's like one contract for 6 months?
Yeah, I have definitely moved into more of like a long-term relationship with almost all of the brands I work for. Like Mm-hmm. There's not a ton of brands anymore who are just hitting me up for like a one-time partnership, unless it's like the first time we've worked together. They Yeah. Kind of want to test the water, see how awesome I am. and I think that like, that's where the money really comes from, is these long-term deals where Right. You're like, hey, we're locking in for 6 months or a year or, you know, even just a quarter. Like it's so much easier. You don't Yeah. Have to pitch yourself constantly. You know where your money's going to come from next month. And then usually when the time is up and you're like, oh, we're done, here's a look at like everything I've done for you, they want to rehire you. Isn't Right. It great? Which I am.
Which Hannah is, if anyone is listening, any from brands here that want to hire her, thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm a delight.
If you couldn't tell already. Okay, I am curious. So if you had a brand, say you have a brand that you like, I don't know, you find them on Instagram or something, or you're out and about and see them and you're like, oh, I really want to work with this brand, but you've never had any contact with them before. What do you do?
So I think a couple things, and I do them all at the same time. One Okay. Is I really start engaging with their Instagram profile, with their TikTok profile. I start commenting on stuff. Like they will notice you. They will Mm-hmm. Like, you think maybe they have like 50 comments on a post, like they won't notice you. They will see you if you keep showing Yep. Up. I'll do that. I'll respond to their stories. I'll start like answering their polls. Like, however I can engage with them, I will. At pretty much the same time, which I know that, Kristen, you like to wait a couple weeks and really like start doing that. After like a day or two, I'll send them an email and I'll be okay. Like, oh my gosh, hello, I'm Hannah. I just like wanted to meet you. Like, I love everything you're doing on social media and like I'm obsessed with your products. If there's ever a capacity that we could work together, like that would be a dream for me. And from there, since they've already seen me like starting to show up on their page, usually they'll respond at least. Right. And I like to play the long game with them. So sometimes they'll be like, for example, I work with a laser hair removal company. When I first reached out to them, when I started like commenting on all their stuff, she was like, yeah, let's talk next month. And, you know, we might have something around the holidays for you. So I reached out next month and I was like, hello, I'm back. And she was like, amazing. Let me send you the product. And then for a month, you can try that. And I was like, all right, here we go. So tried out the product. Another month goes by. I'm back. Hello, it's me again. Now we've been talking for 2 months. It me. And now like, you know me because like I've been sliding in like whenever you tell me to slide in.
Right.
And from there, she was like, cool. What's your rate? Hit me with the contract, you know, like, let's do this. And so that's how I like to do it. And yep. I think it's awkward if like, ugh, when I was working as a manager, like influencers sliding into your email being like, love your brand, and they're not following you.
I was just gonna, I'm like, knew you were gonna say that. It's yeah. The worst.
I'm like, I'm sorry. And I have that with brands too. They're like, yeah. Oh my God, you're such a great influencer. Love all your content. I'm like, you're not following me.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Lies.
Yeah. Like you,
lies.
It just feels wrong. Like it's so very
it's
clearly.
Salesy.
Yeah. Right. Like if you get message requests, I feel like this happens to me all the time. I get message requests from people trying to just like sell me like shit for my business. Like, oh, these different systems and stuff. And they're like, oh, I saw this video of yours. And they try and really customize it and make it sound like they really did their homework, but they still don't follow me. I don't even care how much you've customized it. I am literally hitting delete. Like it feels, when it feels fake, like we don't want anything to do with it. But I love what you explained that whole process because you basically just outlined the whole anti-pitch method. So thanks for selling that for me. The cool thing about anti-pitch is like it is the long game. And I think people get nervous about that because when you're sending a cold pitch email, you are hoping that you get a response from the brand being like, sick, yeah, here's $1,000. Like that's, I think, how people go into pitching. Obviously, we all know that is definitely not how it goes in most scenarios, but we don't want to anti-pitch and like play the long game because we want that instant gratification. But have you ever been in a situation like before you were married where you dated someone and they instantly like asked you to move in or asked to marry you and you were like, yeah, sick, let's go. Like it's literally the same thing. Like that's so weird.
Yeah, like this is your hard-earned money. Like who are you going to give it to? Someone you've like never talked to before?
Right.
Someone who really hasn't shown you that they like care about your brand? Or someone who has. And I remember like the place I was when I saw your anti-pitch method post on Instagram.
Really?
Cause it was such, yeah, it was like such an aha moment for me that I was like following this like template that everyone was saying you should do. And then I was like, oh no, like, hello, this makes so much sense. It's like literally common sense and
it's
genius.
It's just so different.
But you don't think about it.
Yeah.
It's
so not what we've been taught, you know, but like, again, I think obviously what we've been taught just isn't working well. So like, why are we doing it still? I'm confused.
Keep doing it.
Yeah. Okay. I am curious to hear because you are super active on Instagram and TikTok. Do you find right now that brands are more reaching out to you for one platform versus the other? Do you feel like everyone wants to just cross post? Like, what's the difference for you?
I feel like brands are still so on the Instagram train. And even when like I was really, really pushing TikTok on them, they were like, we don't have a TikTok or, you know, we're just not focused on that yet.
Yeah.
And I feel like with TikTok Shop, brands are starting to kind of move over to TikTok because there's a way that they can do affiliate sales on there, which is super easy for them.
Right.
But the majority of the time it is Instagram with sometimes a cross posting to TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have been having this conversation with more and more people because I feel like in the last like 3 years, like 2020 to like 2023-ish, maybe midway through, I feel like every brand that I had conversations with was like, do you have a TikTok? Are you posting on TikTok? Like so many brands wanted TikTok. Now I feel like I'm seeing it a lot less. And that could also be because a lot of the brands that I work with aren't like physical product based. Like a lot of them are services or, you know, like digital products or whatever. So TikTok shop isn't super applicable. But it's interesting to kind of hear your perspective on that. Cause like, do you charge more on TikTok than you do on Instagram?
I actually charge more on Instagram than I do TikTok.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is interesting because I have more followers on TikTok, but I feel like they almost count less.
They did
Instagram.
Yeah.
Like Instagram's like harder to gain a following.
Yeah.
And it's also more community based. And so I feel like that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I am the exact same way. I have the same amount of following on both platforms and I charge like massively higher on Instagram than I do on TikTok. My followers on Instagram, I think they just, I have more confidence that they will actually go by what I'm talking about. Whereas TikTok feels so hit or miss. Like, I just don't know. I put something out there and I don't know what's going to happen with it. I just put it out there and hope
it's
for the
like
best.
A lottery.
Yeah.
Honestly, you're like, I feel like on Instagram, you're like, okay, I know I'll get views. Like, I know what that's going to look like. On TikTok, you could put a video out there that you're super confident in and it'll get 500 views. And you're like, okay, cool. Well, that wouldn't have happened on Instagram. So it does feel very hit or miss. Yeah.
Yeah. Also kind of want to jump around a little bit to talk about like gifting, because a lot of the creators I have conversations with hate gifting and they think it's like the worst thing ever. I'm curious to hear what your opinion is on it. Like when you do kind of like make this connection with a brand and they're like, hey, like we're not doing anything like in a paid capacity right now. We can send you some product though. What are your thoughts on that? Like, is it annoying to you? Are you like, there's more here? Like, how do you feel about gifting?
So I'm personally okay with gifting as long as there's not like a strong obligation to post. Like I will absolutely not accept gifting if you're like, okay, I'll need to review your video and then I'll need you to post it. And like, that's not going to work for me. But I have found a couple times that with gifting, if there's no obligation to post, but I still do include it in a video or something, that they will then come around and be like, oh, I'm so glad you like the product. Let's work together. So I think there can be something to it, especially like a very salesy approach would be to post your content and then send them the analytics and be like, hey, I just like mentioned your brand here. Imagine if we did a whole video directly for your brand, like what we could do with that. And I'll like use that to try to get, a collaboration with them, but I don't hate gifting. I just don't prefer it, obviously, to be paid.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, that makes sense, especially because, you know, this is your job and stuff, but I think it's a good perspective on gifting. It's a foot in the door at the end of the day.
Exactly.
And I think a lot of brands more now than ever before want to do gifting before they pay you because there are literally what we were just talking about. There are so many influencers now that how do you know who are going to be the ones that are easy to work with, that are reliable, that are like on top of shit? Like they don't know that because you can say I'm so great to work with, but like, yeah, everyone says that and still people suck and are horrible to work with.
Yeah.
So I think it's like a good test for them to see like, even with gifting, like when this person isn't even getting paid, are they like on top of things? Because I mean, that is like the true test right there.
Yeah. And also like you need to make sure you like the product. So let's say like you're trying to work with, I'll use Smooth Skin for an example. They're the laser hair removal company I work with. They were like, we want to make sure that this like works for you and that you like this before we contract you to put out a video. Because what if I got the product and I was like, wow, this doesn't work for me at all. And then I had to put out a video being like, oh my gosh, I used laser hair removal and it works so well and it didn't work. So I used the product with them for like 2 months before I even made my first video. And that's how like I knew that I was like doing my due diligence, like putting in the work to make sure that this was a product I wanted to share.
Yeah.
So I think it can really be beneficial. but you can get taken advantage of at times. So you just have to be careful.
It's so funny. That reminds me of one of our social suite members. We were in like a group meeting and this came up somehow in conversation, and they were sharing photos in the chat of this brand that had asked them, because I'm thinking about your laser hair removal thing being like, yeah, it works, even when like maybe it doesn't work. This brand literally was like, it was a dandruff shampoo. And they were like, if you don't have dandruff, like they were still hiring people that don't have dandruff. They literally were like telling them things they could put in their hair to like make it look like they had dandruff. And they were showing like literal pictures of like how you could apply these things to your hair to make it look like you had dandruff.
Oh my God. And that is a surefire way to get canceled, because influencers talk, influencers share things. We have platforms.
Literally.
Like, be careful.
Yep. And it's funny because like that was a paying job, that this was a creator who's just getting started, realistically would be super pumped to do something for $300, $400, or $500. And she literally was like, that's crazy. Absolutely not. You know? So like people are turning down money to do that, but it's crazy because there are still so many people who would have been like, yeah, I don't care. I'll like rub cheese in my hair or whatever it was to make it look
good. I honestly feel like that's the difference between people who are playing the long game and people who are like, oh, I'm not going to do this forever. I'm just trying to collect, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's why I kind of feel like it is a little bit more trustworthy to pick influencers who have been around a while, because you know that they're not just like, okay, I'm going to take the 500 and run. Like, I don't care. Like, it's telling.
Yeah, it is. It is for sure. I agree. So to wrap things up, I would love to hear, since you've been in this mindset of like, I want to just like make friends with these brands, and instead of like spending all my whole day just cold pitching, what does like the jump in your income look like? Like for brand partnerships, what does the journey look like for you over the last few years financially?
Yeah, when I started to really make like some money, I was making anywhere between like $0 to $2,000 a month. And that was probably around 10,000 followers. And I did start to grow on platforms and I started to form these connections. And now I make anywhere from like usually between $5,000 and $15,000 a month. So it has grown exponentially. And obviously there are still months that I don't make a lot of money. Like February, I made like $900. Like it was just, you know, some months people aren't putting out the budget, but I think like having these long-term partnerships and knowing that these brands are going to come back to you time after time after time because they know that you're such a chill, great person to work with. it definitely increases your revenue.
Yeah. Amazing. Yay. All right, Hannah, thank you so much for doing this. Thanks for being the delight that you are. I'm glad we got to spill the tea about brand partnerships. This was a lot of fun. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And my DMs are always open if you guys have any questions or want to talk money or whatever. Like, nothing is off the table.
Or if you just want to send Hannah a message and tell her that she's a delight and you love her.
We're open
for that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, obviously.
Oh my gosh. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We will see you next week. Bye.